We begin today with the post-election violence in Tanzania. The Tanzanian Electoral Commission has announced that the incumbent Samia Suluhu Hassan has won the presidential election that was held on Wednesday, winning 98% of the vote, the sort of number that belies credibility. By contrast, the BBC reports diplomatic sources in Tanzania saying there is credible evidence that at least 500 people have died after protesters clashed with security forces. Tanzania's ruling party has been in power for over 60 years. The main opposition party, Chadema, puts the post-election death toll at around 700. Chadema didn't contest the presidential election. You may recall that on Sunday Extra earlier this year in May, we covered the treason charges against Chadema opposition leader Tundu Lissu, who remains in prison. Joining us now to discuss the situation is Nosmot Badamosi, who writes the Africa Brief for the journal Foreign Policy. Foreign media have been largely banned from Tanzania. I spoke with Nosmot from Lagos, Nigeria earlier. Nosmot, welcome back to Sunday Extra.
Thanks so much for having me.
So Tanzania's foreign minister said no excessive force has been used after the election. How credible is that claim?
Well, there were mass arrests before the elections actually got underway. There's been forced disappearances. There's been extrajudicial killings of opposition party members. And as protests have gone underway since Wednesday, October 29th, there has been mass civilian deaths from police and security forces. So, you know, the latest estimates are between 500 and 700 killed, you know, since polling stations opened on Wednesday.
How would you characterize the protests that have happened after the election? Are they organized by the opposition?
I wouldn't say so. I think there is some involvement with the two main opposition parties. This has been largely leaderless demonstrations by young people who very much knew that these elections would not be free and fair. You know, the main party has essentially not been allowed to run in this election, as you mentioned. Tundu Lissu, also the second largest party, has also been banned from running in the election, and that is the ACT Wazalendo party. Tundu Lissu, as you mentioned, he's in jail on treason charges after he argued that the elections could not be free and fair because President Hassan appoints those who oversee the election. So Hassan was effectively running unopposed on that Wednesday ballot. So a lot of young people knew right from the start that these elections would not be free and fair. And so come polling day, they all came out into the streets to protest.
Does the scale of the violence post-election suggest that there really is a serious challenge to the ruling party's grip on power, or does it point the other way?
Well, the Chama Duzi party, the CCM party, which has been in power, as you say, since 1961, has always ruled, to be honest, with an iron grip. You know, Hassan's predecessor, John Magalufi, was an authoritarian. He was a COVID denier. So essentially, repression has always been a feature on the CCM's grip on power. What we're seeing now is what we've seen in Madagascar, what we've seen across Africa, where young people have just effectively said, we've had enough. We've had enough of having these sham elections. We want something different. But I think Tanzania has had, the ruling party has had such a grip on power, and it has been such a feature, you know, that grip on power, violence has been such a feature of it. So I really don't think that we are seeing anything that we haven't seen before from the CCM party. The fear is now that this might turn to something that is, it's undemocratic now, but something that is extremely undemocratic. so far, the army has not fully gotten involved. It's more the police officers and other security forces that are committing some of these violence. But there is a fear that if the military fully get involved, we will see an escalation of that violence. But also then you can see what happened in Madagascar, and then you have a coup.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Nosmot Badamosi about the situation in Tanzania. Nosmot, you referred to a sentiment of hope for something different. There was, at least initially, some hope that President Samia Suluhu Hassan might represent something different. Could you remind us how it was that she came to power and what's become of those hopes in the time that she's held the top job?
President Hassan came to power in March 2021 after the death of her predecessor, John Magufuli. You know, after his sudden death, some believed that he died from COVID. But, you know, many people thought that her tenure would be a break from his authoritarian regime, especially as she reversed some of the bans that Magufuli had put in place on opposition rallies and also on newspapers that were critical of him. She opened more of the civic space in terms of freedom of expression, in terms of allowing people to, in part, criticize the government. But, you know, we've seen a complete reversal of that over the last few years, where, you know, Hassan's critics have faced brutal killings, there's been abductions, and two activists who went to Tanzania from Kenya to actually attend the trial of Tundu Lissu, they alleged abduction and rape. I think, you know, Amnesty International has described her repression in the lead up to the election as a wave of terror.
As I mentioned, we spoke back in May about the treason trial of Tundu Lissu. What's the status of that trial, Nosma?
Well, it's still ongoing, but, you know, many people feel that he will probably be found guilty. You know, the trial essentially began just a few weeks before the election, which was also raising alarm bells, you know, across election observers. You know, this really isn't going to be a free and fair election, because you are essentially putting on trial the leader of the main opposition party within 3 weeks of elections about to begin.
And sadly, Tanzania is not the only nation in Africa that's experienced electoral violence. What other polls, for better or worse, have been held lately?
Yeah, so just in the last few weeks, we've had elections from Cameroon and Ivory Coast again. Most people would consider those elections to be staged. So Cameroon's leader, Paul Biya, who is 92 years old, was sworn in for an eighth term in office. He is the world's longest ruling leader. We've got, over in Ivory Coast, 83-year-old President Alassane Ouattara, who was sworn in for a fourth term. You know, these elections are merely the facade of legitimacy. So much so that, you know, President Paul Biya did not even campaign. He hasn't campaigned for years in elections. He was noticeably absent from the election campaigns this year. You know, democratic institutions have been so severely damaged in Cameroon that there is a fear that when the 92-year-old president eventually dies, who will take over? Biya has not designated a political heir, and there is no known constitutional transition plan in place for when he eventually dies in office. In Cameroon, there's a separatist Anglophone insurgency going on in two regions, in the northwest and southwest. There's high unemployment rates and public discontent. That has been a feature of both the Ivory Coast protests, the Cameroon protests, and also in part protests in Tanzania. The real problem across Africa right now is high unemployment. You've got a really large young population without enough jobs, and at the same time, you know, they have absolutely no say in their political futures because, you know, they're essentially being asked to vote in ballots that are predetermined. The outcomes of these elections are predetermined. So just as there is in Tanzania, there's ongoing protests in Cameroon and in Ivory Coast. There's been so many coups across Africa, and people have been saying, you know, why over the last 2 years have there been so many coups in Africa? This is part of the reason why, you know, because you have these elections, the young people know that actually these elections are completely sham. They go out to protest. They ask for the resignation of the president. That doesn't happen. And then, you know, the military steps in. The initial coup in Burkina Faso in 2014 was driven by President Blaise Compaoré's refusal to resign despite violent public demonstrations. The military then seized power within hours of an uprising, sort of led by young people. So we're seeing what has essentially happened in the Sahel. We're seeing that same series of events play out in Madagascar, you know, where people, as I say, are just completely fed up with staged elections. And we're now seeing the same thing happening in Tanzania.
Yes, it's a pretty grim situation all around. But Nosmot Bademosi, thank you very much for updating us on it on Sunday Extra this morning.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
And Nosmot is a multimedia journalist who also writes the Africa Brief for the journal Foreign Policy. And you can find more Africa coverage on the ABC Listen app from Saturday Extra, which yesterday spoke to Letitia Bader from Human Rights Watch about the situation in Sudan. And on the ABC Listen app, you can also find that interview we did back in May with Oriem Nieko, who's the senior researcher for the Africa Division of Human Rights Watch, about Tundu Lissu's treason trial.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.